Chapter 19. Leave this situation up to Oates and me. After another week on horseback, Pa and I arrived in Natchitoches midday on Saturday, June 27th. It had taken us altogether 13 days, and I couldn't have been any happier to climb out of the saddle. I thought we'd made pretty good time with the near two-day visit at the Alden place. What I was eager for was a hotel bed, and truth be known, having a doctor look at my arm. But I could tell Pa was already worried about our being away from the family for so long. He had said he wanted to get down to Natchitoches and back in a month, so we needed to get back on the trail pretty darn quick. As if reading my mind, Pa said, "One day, Tom," and pointed a gloved finger into the air. "One day here in Natchitoches. I should like for us to be back on the trail tomorrow. The earlier the better. We got 5 things to do. First, purchase cattle, and if possible, another horse. I would like to buy from Mr. Abadie if his animals look good and the price is right. Second, we must replenish our supplies with a visit to Mr. Laplace's general store. And get me a new shirt," I said. "Yes, we shall get you a new shirt," said Pa. "I would also like to have a confidential conversation with Oates about the, incident we met up with. Third, after speaking with Oates, I may have to report the Osage attack to the commander at Fort Claiborne. I believe that is expected of me, to help the army ensure there is no trouble brewing with the natives. Fourth, I want a doctor to take a look at your arm. That poultice Mrs. Johnson put on it, I think that was a real good thing for your cut. But it's been on there for a while, and I think we ought to ask a doctor if your wound needs more attention. Perhaps there is one at the army post who can examine you. Lord knows an army doctor has seen his share of battle wounds." Pa chuckled a bit. "Lastly, we must stop at Mr. TJ's dock and pay him for his pirogue. We will proceed in that order." Typical Pa. He had it all figured out about how much time each task would take and how to plan from one to the next. Everything orderly and rational. Questions burned in my mind to ask Pa about the drawing in the Bible. Was it really a map? Where might it lead? Who could read it? I had not seen the map, if indeed that is what it was, since Tiatisan drew it. I knew Pa would know how to deal with it when the time was right. Until then, its secret was safe in his saddleback. We rode into a busy Natchitoches amongst horses, people, dogs, and carts going up and down the thoroughfare. We passed the tavern, from which came loud voices and boisterous laughter. I was hungry, but Pa rode on with a singular mind to see Mr. Abadie. I was glad to see the man was at his corrals and able to begin discussions at once so we could get to the table sooner. The cows were healthy, young, and bountiful. Mr. Abadie tugged on a few of their teats to prove it. The bull was a handsome, gruff beast he called Titan. The horse, which Mr. Abadie said was named Jim Dandy, was a gelding of no particular character. Pa walked around them a few times, then said, "What else have you?"
"Unfortunately, Monsieur Merle, he is the only horse in my stables at the moment. I had une demi-douzaine, but they were all sold a few days ago to a big cattle drive. But Jim is a fine animal, Monsieur, with une disposition aimable. You'll be using him as a plow horse?"
Pa nodded.
"You will find him well suited to the task."
Pa walked around Jim Dandy a few more times, rubbing his whiskers, murmuring, until Mr. Abadie finally reduced his asking price. For most of his Spanish gold coins, Pa purchased 10 cows, Titan, the bull, and Jim Dandy, which seemed to me a handsome deal. Pa asked Mr. Abadie if he would allow us a corral for them until morning.
That will cost you un peu more, monsieur,"
he said, pinching his fingertips together and grinning. But Pa seemed well enough satisfied with the transaction. We left our horses to be liveried as well. "You drove a good bargain, Pa," I said as we walked up Amulet Street. "How did you get Mr. Abadie to drop his price for Jim Dandy?" Pa smiled at me and said,
"My hesitation let him know he wasn't the only horse dealer in town."
"Did you save enough money so's we could get some dinner?" I asked, smiling, pointing to the tavern on Jefferson and rubbing my belly. He nodded. It was a little less noisy as we took seats. A pretty, jolly woman with an abundant bosom came right up and set 2 huge bowls down in front of us. It was a stew of sorts, and it smelled delicious.
"C'est du gumbo."
She poked her finger at the ingredients, floating in the dark broth as she talked.
"Saucisse, riz, okra, and the Louisiana Holy Trinity."
She paused, looking back and forth at us.
"That's peppers, celery, and onions en anglais. Quelque chose à boire? Something to drink?"
2 sassafras teas, if you please, said Pa. I took in the room as we ate, dominated as it was by a long bar. Behind it stood a multitude of liquor and wine bottles surrounding several beer casks, over which hung a painting of a naked woman. So this was the type of establishment where James took his pleasures. Two Bouviers, I suppose one would call them French cowboys, were talking rather loudly, drinking shot upon shot of what I presumed to be whiskey. Of a moment, one of them burst into a bawdy French tune that I did not understand, but the way the other men at the bar laughed, I had no doubt it was rich in sexual references. He had a fine voice, but was clearly quite drunk. Upon finishing, the room filled with guffaws and a little applause. The singer's partner grabbed him by his vest and dragged him out of the swinging saloon doors, setting the patrons laughing again. Our bellies filled, we stepped out onto Jefferson and headed down it toward the Mercantile. As we stepped through the Saint-Denis front door, I heard Mr. Laplace say,
"Eh bien, if it isn't the Morals! I did not think we would see you until next year! What brings you back to our fair city?"
He came around the counter to shake our hands. Seeing my torn sleeve and bandaged arm, he said in a soft tone of voice,
"Why, Tom, it appears you're in need of a new shirt already."
He laughed, and we joined in. Oates came out of the back and took one look at my arm and said,
"Tom!"
Then in Caddo,
"What happened to you?"
Mr. Laplace and Oates immediately glanced at each other, seemingly avoiding any expression. Before I could answer, Pa said,
"Good to see you, Mr. Laplace, and you too, Oates. We come back to buy a few cows."
"Well,"
Mr. Laplace replied, missing nothing said or unsaid,
"you men will just have to have a sit and tell us what you've been up to."
He locked the front doors and took us into the back room, where Oates scraped a couple of extra chairs across the floorboards and up to a flimsy old table. I had the oddest feeling that he already knew what had happened to us, even though no words had passed our lips. Pa began talking about our trip through the raft, arriving at Long Prairie, cultivating the land, and the Robinsons' departure, omitting mention of the events of our journey down the Three-Notch Trail. All the while, Oates stared at me with barely a whit of patience. Finally, he blurted out,
"Tietitian!"
interrupting Pa's conversational narrative. Pa stared at him but said nothing. Nor did I.
"It was you, was it not?"
Oates said in Caddo.
"You are the white men. You found Tietitian. You saved the Kokanikis."
Mr. Laplace gave Oates an exasperated look.
"How did you know?"
I replied in kind and turned to Mr. Laplace.
"I'm sorry, sir. I don't speak much Caddo or French, and Pa speaks neither. I spec we should confer in English."
Oates repeated himself in the English tongue.
"How is it you knew?" Pa asked Oates.
"Of course, we did not know it was you," he replied. "All we knew was that it was two white men, and we wondered if it was someone from your group of settlers above the Great Raft. What we did know, we learned from my people at DeSoto. Their chief, Dewey, tell my chief, Tiawania. As soon as we saw the two of you walk in the store and I saw your arm, I knew it must be you who found him. Tietitian was our people's most important medicine man, the Zenisi. How you say? High priest."
"I would appreciate this conversation be kept to ourselves," said Pa.
Mr. Laplace nodded.
"Of course, Monsieur Morel."
Now Pa and I told them the story they wanted most to hear, leaving out the part about the Bible.
"What else do you know about what happened?" said Pa, leaning toward the two of them across the table.
"Tietitian was on his yearly pilgrimage with the young brave Kianun and his two spirit guides," said Oates. "All Caddo know about that."
"They call the spirit guides Kokanikis?" I said.
"Yes! You rescued them, yes?"
Oates asked. "Yes, at some cost," I said, raising my wounded arm. "But they ran off in the night. We don't know what happened to them."
"Do not worry. They returned safely to our people. They told our holy men what they saw. That the Osage killed Tietitian and his protector. And that two white men killed the Osage."
"So you know all this already?" asked Pa.
"Yes, Monsieur Murrell. I was told about these events by a Caddo who comes here from my birthplace up at Natchitoches Village."
"Where was Tietitian going?" I asked Oates. We looked at him, waiting for an explanation. Finally, Oates said,
"We do not know."
"But you know that Tietitian was on a pilgrimage?"
Yes.
"Because of your fellow tribesmen?" I asked. Oates nodded. "Where?" Oates said,
I told you, all Caddo know the Zenisi goes on his spiritual pilgrimage every year. We don't know where he goes. Only known to chiefs and our medicine men. It is a sacred place in the mountains. This is all we know.
We white folks know very little about these Indian rituals, said Mr. Laplace. Except for what Oates here tells me, I myself am unfamiliar with Caddo traditions.
I could not say why, but Mr. Laplace's words did not ring true to me. I wondered why he would pretend he knew so little about the Caddos. Turning back to me and Pa, he said,
We've not had Indian trouble with either the Caddos or the Osage down here for many years. Most of the Caddo live peaceably at Caddo Lake. That is what we call it, but they call it Tesoto. Most of the Osage are way up above the Ozarks, all the way into Missouri territory, minding their own business.
Except for Wechuta's renegade Washashi, Mr. Laplace,
said Oates.
And they are a malicious lot, and still threaten our people. Chief Dewitt only wants to live in peace with both white men and Osage. All people. The same cannot be said of Wechuta's Osage.
Then he was quiet.
What Oates says is true, Monsieur Morel. Years ago, the Caddo had a lot of trouble with the Osage, attacking them above the Great Bend.
Mr. Laplace continued.
That's upriver, west and north of you folks.
Pa nodded.
That's pretty much the reason why many of the Caddo moved down to their lake.
Mr. Laplace continued.
Oui, monsieur. These days the Osage tribe stays way up north, away from the whites. But I think it was Wechuta's Wushashi that attacked Tiatisan, not the Osage tribe,
said Oates. Pa looked at Oates and said,
Just who is this Wechuta? And what is his Wushashi?
He's a renegade Osage, cast out of the Osage tribe some years ago,
said Laplace.
He is an Omuve, an Omfu, who hates and kills and steals whatever he wants. He once had un santen dom, Osage, but many were killed in battle or deserted him. À présent, I hear they have braves from other tribes, mostly renega, banished by their own people. The Wushashi prey on other tribes, stealing pelts, guns, cattle, horses.
His face grew long, sad, dark, as he said,
And sometimes women.
We were, all four of us, quiet for some moments, pondering the grave danger posed by this Wechuta and his band of cruel renegades. To my mind, and I'm sure to Pa's as well, there could be little doubt that it was they who attacked Tiatisan, and me. The question was, why?
Je crois comprendre that they trade most of what they've stolen to disreputable French traders for guns and ammunition,
said Mr. Laplace.
I've had nothing but assurances from everyone I've asked that we have settled in a civilized territory and are safe from marauding Indians,
said Pa, barely containing his anger.
And now I hear about this pack of them on the loose, and that we ought to be mighty concerned about it.
His right hand curled into a fist.
Well, Monsieur Morel, said Mr. Laplace, for the past few years, we know that Wechuta's band has been holed up somewhere beyond the Washita and have not been a problem for whites in the Arkansas Territory. Cependant, je suis triste de le dire. There are tales told of them raiding the Caddos and some of the other peaceful tribes.
Excuse me, sir, but you've used the word Washitas, I said to Mr. Laplace. That's the name of a mountain range? Oates said,
Oui, the Washita Mountains. It was once part of my tribe's homeland and lies to the north and east of your long prairie. The Washitas were taken from my people by the Osage. This made much of the Caddo tribe decide to move to Tesoto. Now the Osage tribe is up above the Ozarks, shipping for that Wechuta. We think a party of them Wushashi came south looking for Tiatisan. If this is true, how they knew he was going on the pilgrimage is a great mystery.
And if they were looking for Tiatisan, they found him,
said Mr. Laplace.
Wechuta has got a très mauvais caractère. As I have said, he once had over 100 warriors. Now, peut-être 40.
Oates stuck his fingers up 4 times as he said,
40. But then they encountered the two of you, and now 4 of his warriors are dead. He's got to be plenty mad about losing four men.
Pa's expression went from curious to grave.
This was an Indian attack, even though it was between two tribes and did not involve whites.
Pa paused.
I believe I should take action with this information. Is it not our responsibility to inform the army?
Mr. Laplace finally spoke.
Under most circumstances, I would say yes, that you ought to notify Major Trimble about the incident. He is commander of the western section of the 8th Military District and can usually be found at Fort Claiborne. But in this case, making such notification may not be in your best interests, for a couple of reasons, monsieur,
he added, leaning back in his chair and pressing his fingertips together.
First of all, it is only myself and Oates who know it was you who killed the Osage. Sans doute, it had to be Wei Chuta's Washashi. If so, he may now have revenge on his mind, and if somehow it got back to him that it was you, well...
He let his chair fall back on its front legs with a thunk.
Vous et vos familles sont en grave danger.
I knew little French, but I clearly understood the words family and grave danger well enough. I looked at Pa and deduced the same grasp of Mr. Laplace's warning.
And you think if we tell the army, it would get back to this Wei Chuta? Said Pa.
There are many eyes that see and ears that hear in Natchitoches, said Oates. It would not be the army that would tell Wei Chuta.
He paused, and his message sank in without more words. Then he said,
But the fewer people who know it was you, the better off you'll be.
Mr. Laplace nodded in agreement and said,
And there is yet another reason to keep your activities to ourselves, which has to do with the army and the Caddos. Old DeWitt has been complaining about white men settling on what, en vérité, were not long ago Caddo lands, north of the Great Raft. DeWitt hopes to take his people back there someday, as unlikely as that may be.
But we have settled that land, and it is now ours, objected Pa.
C'est vrai, c'est vrai. But the rights to the land in these parts are toujours, always, as you say. Qui sait quoi? You never know when a treaty might come along to change things. And, en plus, Wei Chuta will certainement cause trouble for any Caddo up above the raft. Et vous, with all these possible goings on, no one can know how this mort de Tahitian will play out between the Indian tribes, the government, and your own community at Long Prairie. Mais c'est certain... If anything eventually comes out of this round of conflict between the Caddo and the Osage, you don't want to be a part of it. Je regrette. I am sorry to speak so much en français, Monsieur Morel.
Pa made a never mind gesture with his hand and said,
The notion of possible retaliation had certainly crossed my mind, which makes me think that we have an obligation to notify the authorities of Indian trouble. The army must already know about Wei Chuta and his war party. They may even have heard about the Osage attack on Tahitian and that men were killed.
That, monsieur, is a distinct possibility.
Mr. Laplace tipped his chair back again and said,
But regardless, it is not necessary that you do so. Why don't you leave this situation up to Oates and me? We live here. We know all the parties involved. We can make sure that Major Trimble and his second-in-command, Major Riddle, get the information they need.
He tipped forward onto all four chair legs again and said,
But only what they need.
He sat up straight and said in a clear, masterly voice,
We are in la plus enviable position to provide trusted information without letting them know who or where the information came from.
Yes, sir. He's right, Monsieur Mamamoro. We can do that for you,
said Oates.
The army knows we hear things here at the Mamarkantal. So sometimes an officer will come in and ask if we have heard anything they ought to know about. They do trust us and appreciate it when we inform them of what we've learned. Sometimes a citizen tells us something or other so we can pass it on to the army. That's the way information gets to the right people here in Natchitoches. We just collect what we learn and pass it along to who best needs to hear it. We can get this news of yours to the soldiers and let them figure out what to do about it.
That seems to me a fine solution, gentlemen. And we thank you, said Pa.
I could tell he was relieved to have received their assistance so we could get back to our chores, but I still wondered if he really trusted the decision.
Let us get on to Mrs. Merle's shopping list. If we miss something, there will be a fate worse than Indians waiting for us when we get back to Long Prairie.
And we need to get Tom a new shirt,
said Oates, causing a laugh to go around the table.